You're listening to
Rams Talk Podcast with news, previews and interviews about the club we love the most.
And new episodes every single week.
Hello and welcome back to Rams Talk Podcast. We're here today after an unbelievable 5-0 win against Morecambe. I'm very, very pleased to have a couple of new faces here as well, which is great. We're here after 6 wins in a row. We're 15 unbeaten in the league. We look like we might actually be able to mount an assault on the top two, which I never thought I'd say, looking back to the start of the season that we had. So, to introduce people who are on today, we first off got a regular, Chris Matthews-Redwoods. How are you, Chris?
Hello, mate. Very good, thanks. That, as Sundays go, after a 5-0 win, you don't get better than that.
Well, exactly. It was a special day. And I've also got, if people were fans of Not Another Derby podcast back in the day, that is calling back a long time now. We've got Jacob Hackett. How are you, Jacob?
I'm good. It's nice to be back on a highly upgraded format. I think you've taken it a little bit further than I was capable of. So it's good to be back. And
I think we've lost Jacob for a second there. And we've also got Carolyn Hall. But last but not least, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very good, thank you. Especially after yesterday. I think Jacob's struggling a little bit there.
I think he's frozen.
It wouldn't be a Rams Talk episode without a technical hitch. So, Chris, to start off, I mean, there's only one man we can talk about to start off with, and that man is David McGoldrick. He was absolutely unbelievable yesterday, wasn't he?
Oh, he just oozes quality, doesn't he? I think a few months ago we'd have called him one of those luxury players, but he's shown that when he's fit, he starts, and he's not just an impact sub. I honestly cannot praise him highly enough as to what he's done to our forward line. And I think if he carries on the way he is going at the moment, he could be 25 goals plus, and hopefully that will carry on into the Championship next season.
Oh, mate, that's a very, very ambitious talk, but I like it. I really do like it. And Carolyn, you were there yesterday, which is great. Is that your 6th game of the season now you've made from Ireland, which is pretty impressive?
Yeah, the 6th one this season, so hopefully get a few more in. I usually do the last game of the season for my birthday, but I think that might actually be a pretty interesting one. I think it's Sheffield Wednesday.
It's Sheffield Wednesday away.
Yeah, so I think that actually could be a really interesting one. Like, we could be kind of thinking top two, maybe.
Oh, God. I hope you're right.
I'm very ambitious. Right. I have a good feeling. I do.
Me too. And on David McGoldrick, I mean, as Chris said there, we're going to rely on him. We're going to need him, aren't we?
Absolutely.
He's a really, really special player. What did you make of his performance yesterday?
I suppose I've watched David McGoldrick a good bit. I suppose when he used to play for the Republic of Ireland, I've always been a fan of him, but I did not think when he signed for us, I didn't think he was going to be as important as he is. Like, I suppose at his age, people are kind of thinking, oh, like, you know, are you going to expect him to be scoring goal after goal? But like another hat trick yesterday, it was just amazing. He's so good. He is so good.
He really is. I mean, I've got the stats up here, and that's the first player in 49 years for Derby to score 3 hat-tricks in a season, which is an obscene stat. It is, you know, genuinely ridiculous that we've got a player that's done that. And
we're a different team with him at the side, though, totally.
Oh, 100%, 100%. And Jacob, we saw something quite strange yesterday. We hadn't seen it in a while. We saw McGoldrick and Collins kind of up there together. I know McGoldrick was a bit deeper. we're going to try and see if you can talk for more than 30 seconds without cutting out. How do you think their relationship worked?
It's a weird one because both of them, well, McGoldrick can play in either position, either in the 10 or up top himself. I feel like Collins benefits from having McGoldrick behind him in and around to break up the play. And well, you've seen what McGoldrick can do with the ball at his feet. I don't think there's anyone in the league that can do what he does better than him. So I think any striker that plays in front of McGoldrick in the 10 benefits. I think it's more of what McGoldrick has to do than it is to what Collins has to offer to McGoldrick, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the way that I'd look at it. I think anyone with McGoldrick, it's going to be a healthy relationship. But I think it is mainly Didsley that is the key to that.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I thought actually Collins played quite well yesterday. I know we were quite critical of him last week after the West Ham game. Obviously, he was playing against good opposition. But yeah, we were quite critical of him. That's his first goal since scoring against Burton quite a while ago. So yeah, nice for him to get back on the score sheet and a good pen as well. But Chris, back to McGoldrick. I mean, three goals. He won as a pen as well. It was quite funny because I actually didn't think he was having like a great game. But, you know, 44th minute, we desperately, desperately need a goal. It changes the team talks at half-time for both teams. McGoldrick steps up, rifles it, bottom corner. What a finish that was.
Oh, it was brilliant. And, you know, I've no doubt that if it had been the other way around, Hourihane would have put it in the bottom corner as well. They're both players that on their day can produce that moment of quality. And let's face it, in League One, you're going to be scrapping a lot, and it might just be that one or two moments of quality that changes games. And it couldn't come at a better time. Just before the break, Morecambe would have been delighted that they managed to keep it at 0-0. And yeah, it's moments like that that do change games, and we're going to need that a lot more. But yeah, if we can just wrap him in cotton wool, I'm glad we're out of the FA Cup now, because Warren won't be tempted to play him, and the Pizza Cup as well. So yeah, let's just keep him fit. And honestly, I'm excited this weekend. First time I think that we can get that top two spot, and I haven't thought that all season. So,
oh, yeah, it's a big call, isn't it? But yeah. I mean, Carolyn, Morecambe, they're terrible away from home. You know, you can't sugarcoat it. They've won one game away from home all season. So it was always going to be a game where Derby were favourites. Paul Warne spoke in his post-match press conference.
Yeah, I saw his interview. He was nervous.
He was very nervous, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. That we were playing against a team that, you know, it's a potential banana skin. Didn't Derby handle that banana skin well?
Definitely, yeah. I suppose yesterday, I think I always am quite optimistic, but I said to my dad when it was getting towards the end of the first half, I was like, look, it's like, I think if we get a goal before half time, we'll be okay. But I just think the second half, we were just so good. Like, if we could play like that every week, I thought I was watching Barcelona. It was great. But yeah, I think if we can keep playing like that and, you know, keep picking up points, we're on such a good run at the moment. I genuinely do think if we don't finish second, I think we're going to finish third. Putting that out there. That's my prediction.
Well, I think third's probably getting to a point where it might be ours to lose as well. Chris putting his finger up there to say first. I think that's very ambitious with the way Chef Wednesday are playing, but I hope you're right.
I don't think it is.
I think Whittaker did us a favour when his loan was finished in Plymouth. So
I know. Yeah, thank you.
It's written in the stars, isn't it? I mean, that says it all.
I think it is. Yeah.
I mean, if it happens, that'll be so special, won't it? But let's not get ahead of ourselves. You know, we've only won six in a row. We need another six, and then maybe we'll be up there. Jacob, Carolyn spoke there about watching Barcelona, and a player that's obviously massive at Barcelona is Lionel Messi. And I bet you're wondering exactly where I'm going with this. But Lewis Dobbin, for the last 25 minutes yesterday, it was like watching right-footed Messi at his best. I've never seen fullbacks get terrorized. I actually felt sympathy. It was like, please, these people have families. Please, Lewis, let him off. I mean, I don't know what's happened in the last few weeks. He's been unbelievable, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, the opposition defenders yesterday didn't stand a chance. And it was the same, really, against Port Vale a week or so ago. You know, he came off the bench and he looked a new man completely. I think myself and quite a few others have been critical over his decision-making in the final third. You know, he's not quite got that composure to find the back of the net or to tee someone up. And then against Port Vale, he came on and produced those two fantastic assists. And then against Morecambe again, he's started the match and he's really, I feel like he's starting to get to grips now. I think he needed that little bit of time to bed into senior football, to bed into working under Paul Warne and working with new teammates who he wasn't used to, you know, before the season started. And I think he's coming into his own now. I think there's healthy competition. He had been dropped for Barkhazen for a while. And I think that might have made him step back and, you know, he had to work hard in training to make sure he's, you know, knocking on Warren's door and getting into the first team fold again. But yeah, he's taken his chance, hasn't he? He was fantastic. And I'd be surprised if he didn't start the next game now. But he's definitely a player in good form. And I just hope he can start racking up that goal tally. So I want to see him add goals to his game, because it's the one thing he's missing now for me, is hitting the back of the net. And I think when he does finally get that next goal, hopefully we'll start to see him kick on from there.
Yeah, I hope you're right, mate. And you say some really good stuff when your internet works. So let's keep it this way for the rest of the episode. But Chris, Jacob said there, you know, Dobbin is, well, he's got everything, hasn't he now? He's got everything, and he's showing a side to his game that I don't think we knew that he had. We knew that he was quick and, you know, he created chances, but didn't realise that he could do it in the way that he's doing it. But as Jacob says, that end product's that one last thing. And he had a couple of good chances yesterday, didn't he?
He did. And, you know, I think before the 85th minute at the Port Vale game, the frustration we felt with him was just huge. I think we've established now he isn't an out-and-out striker. That's a well-known fact, because he can't finish his dinner. But his pace is obviously going to be an issue. And, you know, the fact that he's keeping Barkhausen out of the team, who I think since Christmas has been fantastic, says an awful lot. So the more he keeps reducing performances like that, and keeping the likes of Barts out of the team, brilliant. But yeah, as Jacob said, for his own confidence, I think he needs to start banging them in, because he's getting there. He's getting in the right areas. But yeah, I think shooting practice is definitely top of his list for the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think you're right. And he had a couple of great chances, didn't he? He had one that was quite unlucky where the keeper parried it away. He had a couple where he tried to whip it right into the top corner, which he's done a few occasions now. And it always seems to just be slightly too high or slightly too wide every time. But, you know,
fortunately, while Dizzy's on form, it doesn't really matter. But it's going to be those 1-0 games where he has to produce that is going to be interesting to say, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but we saw in the Port Vale game, he doesn't always need to score to make a big impact on the game. But Carolyn, we talked about Lewis Dobbin and how exciting he is. And Jacob mentioned earlier the healthy competition. And I think earlier in the season, Barkhazen and Mendes-Lang were sort of the two. And then when one of them had to come off, it was sort of like, oh no, who's coming on? Are we bringing a Sunderall on the wing again? And stuff like that. And now we've got four players, because we've got Dobbin, who's hit form, and we've got Tony Springer, who I thought played well when he came on yesterday. There is a lot of healthy competition, isn't there? And do you think that will make a big difference in the running?
Definitely, yeah. I think the competition's always good. I suppose it keeps people, you know, fighting for their place, and then it pushes the standard up. But I think also it's important, in case we, hopefully it won't happen, but if we do pick up injuries, at least you have players that are there to fill the spot, and it's not kind of thinking, okay, well, if this one person gets injured, we really don't have someone who can fill that position. So yeah, definitely, I think so. I've been really impressed with Barkhausen. So yeah, I suppose, as you were saying as well there with Dobbin, the main thing was like finishing. And if you can do that, I think it's going to be hard for anyone to get in ahead of him. But yeah.
Well, I think if Dobbin could put the ball in the back of the net, he'd have about 80 goals a season. So
yeah,
he's probably one of the greatest players to ever exist. So yeah, if that happens, I think every Derby fan and probably every Everton fan as well will be very.
I really like Barkhausen though. I do. I really, really like him. As I think, yeah, as you were saying, Chris, like just from like after Christmas, he's really been good. At the start of the season, I was a bit, I don't know. Like, it does take, I suppose, players a while to settle in when they've joined a new club, but I wasn't. I wasn't 100% sure, but I do really like him, I have to say.
I don't know if you recall the Ipswich away game when Barkhouse, it was just atrocious, wasn't it? And I thought then, I tweeted, he is not a Paul Warne type of player at all. But I'm glad to say he's proved me wrong. So
yeah, I'm also very glad.
I've been impressed.
And he did also pick up the very, very prestigious Rams Talk February Player of the Month. Voted by supporters on Twitter as well, which I'm sure he's delighted about. I mean, he liked the post on Instagram.
Definitely.
So he must have been very, very pleased.
He was in tears. Oh, yeah. He was in tears.
But Jacob, I mean, Carolyn touched on there the fact that we've got a lot of players that are playing well. And Chris has said that, you know, players that you thought weren't Paul Warne players are now buying into the system and it's really starting to go well. And we look at the squad harmony that we have at the minute, and Warne mentioned it in his post-match presser. He was saying it's a small squad, but they're all really good friends, and you can see it on the pitch, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, you can see it, I think, on and off the pitch in the little social media clips that they're sharing around of each other in the changing rooms and, you know, on the training pitch. I think it's nice to see, because it's such like a kind of jumbled up group of individuals, kind of similar to last year in a way, where we've had a load of free agents come from here, there and everywhere. We've had some of the younger lads from last year coming through. We've got loanees that have come to the club that we might not have perhaps even heard of before they joined this season. But they all seem to be getting on really well. I think Paul Warne and his staff are a huge part of that. Like, the little thing is like getting a mug every time they score, and they have the photo wall of like every time, is it they keep a clean sheet or every time they win, they have like a, there might be both. Two separate walls. Like
there's that. Both, yeah, and the family wall.
So just little things like that, and it kind of eggs, they all egg each other on. So for me, it's really nice to see that they don't seem to ever fall out with each other. Not that we've had a lot of reason for them to be falling out with each other. We've, you know, lost one game since late October, is it, something like that?
We haven't lost since October in the league.
Yeah, so we've not got a lot of reason for the players to be falling out with each other, but there's definitely something ticking there on and off the pitch, and it's really nice to see. I know we've all moved past it now a little bit, but we're talking about whether we're aiming to get into the top two or not. And it's, you know, we win our game in hand, we're third, and suddenly it's there. The opportunity is there for us to take. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm making no predictions for where we're going to finish, but it's not a bad place.
Oh, come on, Jacob. Be optimistic. Yeah,
come on, Jacob. You've got to say it now.
Give it another 4 or 5 months. Give it another 4 or 5 months, I'll tell you.
5 months?
4 or 5 minutes will be in pre-season then.
I was going to say.
That's what I can tell you. It'll be right.
Genuinely, it is amazing though. And I remember when the news first came out that obviously Rossini was going and Warne was coming in, and there were a couple of whisperings of players being unhappy. I know a couple of players that were obviously key under Rossini had sort of voiced their frustration. You know, they thought they were building something, but Chris, I mean, Jacob's already answered. The buy-in's been incredible. There's so many different aspects, you know, just the little things behind closed doors have made a huge difference. But don't you think it's been really important that the senior players have worked so well with the younger players? You look at the likes of Mendes Lang, who, you know, despite being 30, 31, has the Instagram of a 20-year-old, and he seems to get on with every single player. And you could say that for all of them. And against West Ham, Curtis Davis, he had the armband. He went over. I spoke to Erin Cashin's mum before the game yesterday. With
you name drop her.
Well, you know, and she was talking about how Curtis wanted Erin Cashin to wear the armband, and it's little things like that that are so special, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's little things like that that we're, after the last 2 years, we are so grateful for, to have players who want to do that for us. And I think the last few years we have had that. It's either a squad of elderly players, not elderly, let's say experienced players.
Past it.
Experienced players and really, really young. I think Paul Warne mentioned it, didn't he, within his first few interviews, that we don't have anyone in the middle of that, the 24, 25, 26-year-olds. But, you know, talk about Curtis Davis. I know he's taken some stick this season, but, God, he can stay at the club for as long as he wants. I'm not saying he's solely responsible for the way Cashin has come on, but he was his last season. It was those two. And, you know, I'd argue now that Cashin is probably the best centre back in League One, and I think I've been very optimistic. Now I'm going to be a bit pessimistic. If we don't go up, I think we're going to be very lucky to keep cashing next season. Sorry, Jake, you were saying.
No, it's all right. It's all right. You're saying good stuff. It's true. I think we'd be very, very lucky to keep him. You know, when you
and Knight.
Yeah, and Knight and Birds. And I think that's one of the things we've just got to not think about. You know, focus on the task at hand and think about that when we get to it. I mean, Erin Cashin, on who scored, which obviously the player ratings on that aren't gospel, but he's the best player in League One. And you don't just, that doesn't just happen. You know, you've got to earn your way to the top. Even Barry Bannon, on whatever he earns a week and 10 years experience in the Prem and Championship, can't touch him, can't get near Erin Cashin. So for him to be in that position, there's obviously going to be teams. I know the bid that was rejected was a pretty high one. It was close to 10 million as well. So the fact that we're turning that down now before we've even finished the season and seen where, you know, where we end up, I think is really big. And if we do sell him, we'll probably make a lot of money too.
And that's why people like Curtis Davis are so important, because he probably sat him down and said, look, yeah, you can go and sit on the bench in the Premier League and be loaned out again and earn 5-6 times more than you do with us, but you want to play every week, and it looks like he does want to play. And I think that's what I say, players like Curtis Davis are invaluable, and hopefully we won't need to sell Cashin until he's worth 50 mil.
Yeah, well, let's hope not. Hopefully he guides us to the Prem with Mendes Lang, just like the chant goes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And just got to hope that Curtis Davis also gaffer tapes into a chair come May and doesn't let him get out again until August, September time. Make sure he stays around. But Carolyn, there was a debutant yesterday, which is always exciting. Obviously, apart from the start of the season where we signed a whole team, we haven't had many new debutants appear apart from Springer in recent times. Harvey White, I thought he played really well when he came on, was unlucky not to score due to a really good save by Corey Smith.
Oh my God, I was watching it back on the highlights today.
I know. What did you make of his debut?
I thought he was really good. I was really impressed with him, I have to say. As you were saying there, he could have scored, but, you know, Corey Smith was too good at defending. So, but no, I have to say, yeah, really impressed. I'm looking forward to seeing him play, and hopefully he might even get a start soon, I'd imagine, because especially with Max Bird being out. Well, I don't know how long he's out for, though.
It's about 4 weeks, isn't it? 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah.
That's the thing about the cup, isn't it? You know, it is nice having a good cup run, but that's always my fear, because I'm like, realistically, we're not going to win the FA Cup, but it's an opportunity for players to pick up injuries. Mm-hmm. So it's frustrating. But look, hopefully White will maybe get his chance and be able to prove himself. So yeah, looking forward to seeing that.
Let's hope so. And that leads me to my question for you, Jacob. We spoke earlier in the episode about the McGoldrick-Collins sort of link up top. I won't lie, I've always been a fan of 4-3-3 over 4-2-3-1. I think it also frees up, as Warren said, it frees up Knight and Hourihan to do their thing. Going into Wickham next week, which we'll obviously talk about in a little bit of time, would you rather we stuck White in there and hold in midfield and went back to the tried and tested, or do we stick with this two up front formation that we've been playing?
I think personally for me, I'd stick with what we have been playing. I think we know what Warren's like in terms of he rarely likes to change a winning side. And I think that'll be the same for the Wickham game. I don't think there'll be any changes to the starting 11 at all, really. He may bring Sibley back in for Roberts, as he did with bringing Cashin back in at centre-back in place of Davis. But I don't know, because for me, Hayden Roberts has been fairly decent. Like, he's not really put a foot wrong. I don't think he really put a foot wrong before Sibley took that spot either. You know, I think Hayden Roberts is another player that, for me, has improved and has begun to show a little bit more of what he's capable of, similar to Dobbin. And I don't see any. I don't see why Sibley would come in right now if he has a. Sibley is only just coming back from injury, isn't he? So that he might stay on the bench again for another game, or they might put Sibley straight back in. But I think, in terms of the shape itself and squad selection, I think it'll be the same starting 11, give or take Sibley for Roberts. I can't see much being changed, because we're on a roll and this is the team we pretty much, you know, more or less been playing with. So I don't see any need to change it unless there's another injury picked up in training, which tends to happen quite a lot. So
I can't see Roberts being dropped, to be honest. I think he's actually been really good. Maybe if Sibley comes back in, he might play in midfield, but I think Hayden Roberts has been really good. I've been very impressed with him.
Yeah.
And this, going back to Harvey White, just to raise a quick trivia question to the three of you. Corey Smith hadn't decided to block that ball off the line, he'd have been the first goal scorer to score on their debut for Derby since who?
Oh.
Oof.
It's very easy.
Is it?
Horan.
Yes, it's Conor Horan.
Oh!
You forget that, yeah, our entire team was signed at the start of the season. Yeah.
I was thinking back a few years, and I was like, hang on a minute.
I was thinking Mason Mount.
Mount did as well, to be fair, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Benny Beningame, I'm sure, was close at times. yeah, that was a horrible time, wasn't it, when we had them playing? But yeah, I mean, Chris, we've talked about Harvey White, we've talked about Hayden Roberts. Jacob said there, he thinks there'll only be one change. Do you agree?
Yeah. I think Paul Warne's a very old-fashioned manager. Why change a winning system, especially that sort of convincing win? And, you know, people say Morecambe are a very different kettle of fish to Wickham. Of course they are. But the way we're playing at the moment, the confidence levels, I don't think it matters who we're playing if we're playing that sort of level of football. So yeah, absolutely no reason to change it at all.
Good stuff. And now, right, a topic that I've put on just because Carolyn likes talking about him. Jason Knight, he scored his second goal of the season. I've put down here, it was his first league goal since August. So it's been a fair while since he's found the back of the net in the league. Obviously, he scored against Barnsley a few weeks ago as well. Carolyn, Jason Knight's been unbelievable, hasn't he, since he's come back from injury? And he took his goal yesterday so well.
It was so good. It was really, really good. Yeah. I have to say, I've always been a big fan of Jason Knight. I think his work rate... look, do I need to say the obvious? but I just think he'll run for 90 minutes. Like, he'll literally, like, chase everyone down. And then yesterday he scored. So what else do you want?
Do you prefer him in a two or a three?
Probably a three.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough one, isn't it? But Jacob, I mean, Jason Knight, we've seen what he can do, can't we? We know what he can do. And I think one of the big challenges for him this season was re-adding goals to his game. Obviously, he scored a few under Koku when he was playing out wide. Do you think he's got a good chance now with the way that we're playing to add more to his tally this season? Jacob? You there?
Oh, I thought we were talking with Carolyn. I've learned out. I'm already looking again. Do I think that Jason Knight should be adding more goals to his tally, or could be adding more goals
could
to
he?
His tally?
Could he?
Was that the question?
He could he, yeah.
Could he? Right. Yes. Yes, he could.
I think we got could. There eventually.
Yeah.
This is top level stuff.
I don't think there's much explaining behind that either, really. I think it's definitely something that he could and should be looking to add to his game. His work off the ball is as impressive as anyone I've ever seen play for Derby, but you know, getting the goals, getting the assists, it's what you judge by on the larger scale of things. So he looks to be enjoying this role a little bit more so now under Warne. He's running, he covers every inch of the pitch, doesn't he? So the way he finished that goal off, you'd expect him to be scoring every week with that kind of composure and, you know, right tight to the feet and finishing into the bottom right hand corner. So it may look so easy. So hopefully we get a few more fuzzy assists into Jason Knight. So that could be another key partnership for us if Fozzy wants to bomb forward anymore.
Yeah.
Let's not forget he started the season at right back.
Yeah. He did. And I was going to bring up Fozzy actually. It's like you read my mind there, Jacob. And Chris, I was having a look the other day. Almost every outfield player had registered a goal or assist for Derby this season. And for Scythe, I remember seeing a thing where it was like we had a starting 11. The only outfield player that hadn't got one was for Scythe. And it was a marauding run, wasn't it, down the centre, and a great ball. And don't you think it epitomises how much of a difference he's made since he's moved into centre-back?
Oh, hugely. But that run epitomised, that took me back to the McLaren Part 1 days when he was bombing down the left-hand side, you know. We talk about Curt Stables as a club legend. Fozzy has seen it all at Derby County. He's played under 11 managers, I think. I think I'm right in saying. And I don't care about him assisting, to be honest. Him at centre-back has been a revelation this season. And I know it was enforced. He had to go there, but it was genius. And when's his testimonial? That's what I want to know.
Oh, mate, I cannot wait to go. I think that'll be a really good day. Can you imagine some of the players that will play in that? You reckon Nick Blackman and Abdul Kamara will turn up?
Richard Keogh, that'll be fun.
I don't think Mason Bennett will be there.
No, Mason Bennett might not. Might miss the invite for that one there. I'd be surprised to see a few players on that day. But no, guys, this has been great. And just one really quick thing before we wrap up and finish off this, what's been a very, very professional podcast, I'd say. Predictions for Wickham. What I want a really quick score prediction, and then I want the first goal scorer. If you've got us down to score, you could have us down to lose 4-0. I don't know. Carolyn, prediction, goal scorer.
David McGoldrick, 3-1 Derby.
Oh, good stuff. Second away goal of the season for McGoldrick coming, hopefully. Jacob.
I'm playing it safe. I'm going 1-1 Collins.
1-1. Chris.
1-1.
I'm going to do a quick wider prediction, just to put it in context why I've been so excited. 18 games left. If we win between 10 and 12 of those, we will go up as champions. I think we will win 1-0 on Saturday, and I think Dizzy will get a last minute winner, and we'll all go mental.
It'd be the most Derby,
I can't lose my voice any more times. Like, Derby and County is the reason why I sound like this.
It would genuinely be the most Derby thing ever if we won every game for the rest of the season. And Wednesday, Plymouth won almost
Look
every
at
game
of
theirs.
Villa did the year we played in the playoffs.
But I don't think 10 wins out of 18, considering the run of form we've been on, is unrealistic at all. Well, I think if we do that, we are champions. So.
Imagine.
The optimism in this studio tonight is unbelievable. And I like
it. One hell of a day out at Hillsborough.
Oh, God. Yeah. Can you imagine? Yeah.
That's my birthday. 2 days after
I don't
birthday,
want to imagine so. It.
Can I just say, if we lose 1-0 to Wickham... Yeah, can I just say, if we lose 1-0 to Wickham in the last minute, I'm not coming on next week. So, you know.
Yeah, it'll be your fault, Chris. It'll be your
absolutely. Yeah.
Jacob, like you said there, Hillsborough last game of the season, if it's a battle for like top two, that is going to be a horrific
day.
Oh,
my God.
I don't think I could handle it.
I don't think I could watch it. That's like worse than a playoff final.
Like, go out on a
it's
dog walk.
Almost I could do it. That way. Luckily, I don't think that final game of the season will be to decide if we get into the top six or not. I think it really could come down to, if we win this, we go up automatically. If not, we fall into the dreaded playoffs again. And then we know...
I don't think I can actually do another playoff.
So. Oh,
God. Don't make me think.
I'm getting cold sweats already.
I'm going to have an anxiety attack in a minute if we keep...
My Fitbit has just gone up to 85, so...
I reckon it will be... I'll say 2-1 Derby. I know it's a bit of a boring, safe prediction. I think it'll be similar to Port Vale. I think they'll get an early goal. They're doing well at home at the minute. And then, I'd like to think we've got the quality. Break them down, show some of that character that we've got, and really give it a good go. But right, guys, it's been a real pleasure. It's been a bit of a throwback, actually, to a bygone era.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've really, really enjoyed it. If listeners did enjoy it, please check out other episodes. You can find us, Rams Talk Podcast. If you're a video viewer, same thing. You can find us on all good streaming services. If you are listening and want to watch all of our lovely faces as we waffle for half an hour about Derby, you can do that at youtube.com/@RamsTalkPods, or you can just search Rams Talk Podcast on Twitter and you can see the full live stream, including Jacob disconnecting at the start, which was probably the best bit of the episode. Guys, it's been a real, real pleasure. Yeah, thanks, mate. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.